I'll start our recording.
Okay. So no questions about the gray beard?
Huh? Gray beard? Oh, you have a gray beard?
Oh, it looks like you are getting
a... Oh, me? Yeah, it's the same. It's different lighting because, you know, I sit in front of this bay window type thing, and the sun is setting later than it did, so there's more sun on me than there was previously, so I guess I'm not hiding in the shadows anymore. And I got new glasses. I'm very happy about that.
Like me hiding in the invisibility.
Indeed. You're just a black square with Keith Miller on it.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's because you can't identify, like, okay, what does this black square do?
Yeah, right. It helps avoid any self-consciousness.
There you go. It's like, say something about Keith Miller on screen.
Without avoiding anything else.
Yeah, there's nothing. Just these letters, these white letters, that mind came along and tried to interpret what these letters meant. But other than that, it's just nothing.
It can't be me.
Exactly. It's the label for you. And you're formless because the black square seems to run into the whole black background of all of Zoom. So,
yeah.
See?
I am no other than the black background and whatever else.
With a label. Yeah.
It's okay for him, but I would prefer our teacher be visible.
Yeah. I'm here. Do you can't see me?
Oh, I can see you, but I'm saying, okay. You know, I mean, the idea of talking to a black screen with a name on it as a teacher would be less appealing.
Oh, okay.
Well, John doesn't get anything out of avoidance, whereas I do.
I mean, when you know yourself in a real sense, you're the space around Trish, you're the space around Keith, the space around Manohar, the space around this John Richards. And all of these objects are occurring within your own self. No privacy, because you are everywhere.
It's gradually sinking in, and gradually, you know, I see it, you know, what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Pretty amazing.
Absolutely. Just turn away from the thought flow about anything limited or anything that has to do with anything and remain with yourself. Because everything that the flow of thoughts is saying about something is nothing. So to entertain the nothing is, what is that? It's nothing that appears as something and you're entertaining it. It's like an invisible imaginary friend. You would bring him to your home and sit him down and give him tea and have a conversation and all this sort of stuff, but it's nothing. And that's the same you do with thoughts that enter in, and you say, oh, let me have this thought and invite him in and sit and give him the energy and get so wrapped up in the conversation that I'm having within myself that I forget myself.
Yeah.
And then that imaginary friend tries to take the house. Think, he sneaks in the back door, you serve him tea, you give him all attention, all energy, you totally forget your surroundings, and the next thing you know, he's kicking you out.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta go.
Because he seems to be the only one that's left.
Exactly. He's the only one that is there because you're paying attention to him rather than to your own self. So he says, okay, bye-bye. And then shuts the door and you're outside and you're like, wait a minute. Was that my house? I don't even remember.
But you still can't really be gone, but you, it's just not like concept. It really affects you. But
just the concept. That's why Siddhartha Mushroom Maharaj says, find this false I, this Gomiji Gomesh, who stamps every paper, and every paper has to be stamped. And then it comes to find out, who's this guy? He's nobody. And yet, all the laws for all this time He snuck himself in as somebody very important, and he was nobody. He used a time when there was some trouble and some disturbance to sneak in and put the stamp and say, oh, all bills, all laws have to be stamped with Gomiji Gomesh.
And it kind of makes sense to the mind, because the mind defines things, and then the mind thinks, well, I wouldn't define things unless things are what I define them to be. But things can't be what you're defining. Things are just what they are. They're not what you define them to be. That's just something.
That's the sneakiness.
The layer.
In Siddharameshwar Maharaj's story, it wasn't until one lawyer said, wait a minute, all these documents are proper in every single way, except they don't have this stamp of Gumiji Gamesh. But what is this stamp? And he researched it, and he found out that, again, some guy snuck this whole concept in, and the people just went along with the concept. Just like you went along with the concept, you're a body in a world called Keith, doing things, because you never said, wait a minute, is that true? Mm-hmm. Because you never said, oh, is that true? And then now you're starting to question, am I really this body named Keith? Now I've been told, Maharaj has said, you are not body, you were not body. So now I need to investigate, is this true or is that true? And the more I remain with my own selfless self, it'll knowingness will appear that the illusory world is just that, it's illusion. And that all this false sense of existence and existing and problems and body relations and worry and all these things are just false. They're layers on your presence and can be discarded. Because you are the truth, your ultimate truth, and all these things that are appearing to you are other than that. But it's all within you. So you're kind of entertaining your own self. And once you know yourself in a real sense, then you just know it's all entertainment. Okay. While this body's available, I'm looking inside a world that's totally illusory. It's nothing to do with me, but I enjoy. I can have a cup of tea. I can have a beautiful sunny day and watch birds in the sky as they're passing right now over the house. And that's okay. But then to sit there and say, oh my goodness, I don't have enough saved for retirement, or, oh, I have so much in retirement, but I want to travel, and what should I do, or any of this stuff. Or you have so much for retirement and you want to travel, but then the doctor gives you a bad report and you're like, oh, I saved all this money, I can travel the world, but now the doctor says I cannot. Or like my aunt, who she's used to traveling all over the world, and she was complaining that during COVID, she's locked in her house. And to her, that's a fate worse than death, because she's used to traveling like two or three times during the year, just off on some island or off doing something. And now suddenly to be trapped, it's like, oh, what to do? But again, if you know yourself in a real sense, you're everywhere. You're already on the island.
But you wanted to die.
Do what?
My mother, before she died, she got to where she was disabled and couldn't move around, couldn't go anywhere. So it was worse than death. So she wanted to die.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because she, you know, couldn't really enjoy what she thought what enjoyment was, what being was about.
Well, releasing the body peacefully and gracefully. This is, you know, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, a little crassly, it's like passing a stool. Mm-hmm. That's how the body, you're like, okay, this body, oh. Okay, it's gone. I'm rid of it.
Yeah. It's hard to, I still am not real clear on that, but what death is like. But
there's no birth and no death. When you know yourself in a real sense, you're just remaining with yourself, the self.
Yeah.
And even when a doctor comes in and says, this is happening to you, this is a very serious thing, blah, 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 you know yourself.
But in knowing my, well, I'm gradually getting to know myself, and that's the tricky part, is getting to know, to discern, like, what like is here and what is not or whatever. But it's still like, there's a feeling element of knowing myself in a real sense. There seems to be a feeling element to that.
That's okay. You feel the sense of presence. You're in the doctor's office and he says, you know what, John, I'm very sorry to say that, you know, the pacemaker we put in, it's malfunctioning, your heart is getting worse and all this kind of stuff. And while he's speaking, if at all you want to do something, mantra, remain with yourself, the self, just I, because by remaining with yourself, the self, these thoughts about the person that you are not will be pulled in to presence, such as a black hole sucking in everything. And so then you'll go through, this is how I spoke about in India with the food poisoning. This is why it's so amazing experience to be in a foreign hospital and they're putting IVs and stuff and telling you like you're really dehydrated from all this food poisoning, it's very bad and you're gonna have to stay in the hospital and this and that. And yet I didn't take the touch of having an experience, because I did as Master said, remain with yourself as self, remain with mantra. Just breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Before I knew it, Maharaj was back. The doctor said, okay, we're all filled with fluid. You just have to take these little pills and such. And Maharaj took those. He was like a mother, actually. He took the little pills and said, okay, when we get back to the ashram, and he would come and give me the pills at different times when I needed them. And I went through the whole thing without taking the touch of a flow of thoughts that said, oh my God, John, you are in a hospital like thousands of miles away from home. And if you were to die in this hospital, what would happen? You know, nothing like this. Nothing happened of, oh, I have food poisoning, this and this. And that's why I went to Maharaj after. I said, this has been a blessing. Because you gave me mantra and then selfless self put in the fire. And okay, now I've been given the keys to the kingdom. It's my choice if I want to pretend to be a person going through an experience that would be very unpleasant for the person that I believe myself to be, that I am not, or taking master, using mantra, remaining with yourself as self, and no experience, no experiencer. I can tell you that knowing no experience, no experiencer, and going through an experience, and then almost like selfless self taps you on the shoulder when it's through, and it's like, you see what we just went through there? Mm-hmm. We didn't have to think about it. We didn't have to sit and meditate. Oh no, there's a terrible experience. Instead, the experience was a spontaneous action in the moment. No deed, no doer, no experience, no experiencer. On the other side, immense spiritual intoxication. And it was just, and it helped to cement that spontaneous conviction. Also that I am that. I'm nothing this mind can tell me I am. Because mind came along with the body and I'm not a body. So if the mind tells me something that the body's going through, it's like listening to a sports announcer on the football field. When he says, oh, so-and-so just ran 100 yards. I'm not running. I'm not doing anything. He can announce all he wants. It has nothing to do with me.
So that during when you're not taking the touch, it's like you're in your true self is almost like a background to what is happening. And
you don't even know yourself. You don't know anything. It's just like there's no conceptualizing of limiting yourself as something. It's just you are.
Right.
We're here.
And the element of bliss is still there?
The selfless self intoxication is just this.
It's still there?
it's this
I mean, I know what it is, but
it's this nothing. It's this.
I go in and out of it, so I wonder, is it still there?
Even? It's not you going in and out. It's your attention is going off to illusory things rather than to your own self. It's always there. You are that, the background of every experience. You can find yourself in any experience at any time. But if you're asking, do I sit there in spiritual bliss all the time? I do not, because there's nothing, you're not, not sitting, and you're not anything really. Now I can sit using the body form right now. I can easily like do a backflip into the presence. And know that, that I am. This I'm not. This is occurring on spontaneous presence. And then the more you remain with presence, the more you know that presence is also an attribute that came along with the body and can only be felt in the body, mind, illusory concept of duality. And you're that this feeling has appeared to. And now you're there's nothing to say about that.
It seems to have no substance sometimes, and then other times it seems to be all substance.
This is only as you're releasing or tightening this concept of being a body mind. In other words, you're saying like, oh, I'm feeling this peace, this very powerful spiritual intoxication. That's good. As Maharaj says, that's like the chocolate. You give chocolate to children because they enjoy the chocolate, so you can get them to behave with the chocolate. Well, the selfless self-intoxication, this very deep sense of presence and peace, is like chocolate. The presence is the chocolate. For you to remain with your selfless self, it's a little reward, basically. Oh, so that I am that. And it trains this concept of mind to stop going outward and start remaining with your selfless self. And as the mind is remaining with your selfless self, it's like a cup of water. You put an ice cube in, the ice cube melts and just becomes the water. So this mind, this concept of mind, ego, intellect, melts within that you are. That's why Maharaj says, concentrate on the concentrator until the concentrator dissolves within the concentration. Meditate on the meditator until the meditator is dissolved within the meditation. Because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. So if body is not your identity, this identity will slowly dissolve within that you are. And presence is like the first step. As Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remain with the I am. And then Ramakant Maharaj, he says, okay, I am, yeah, this is sensed, but you are that. So you can remove trying to remain with that. You are that. So all these illusory layers are just appearing on that. So forget about the illusory layers and remain with your selfless self. And the more you remain with your selfless self, again, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the I am reveals all the secrets. And the secrets are that this presence came along with the body. When presence clicked with the body, you said, I. Prior to presence, you are. I am, presence, the sense of existence, has appeared to that you are. When this concept of death, because this body is no longer available, then presence is no longer felt. But that felt, or that in which presence arose, is very much there. And that you are. So that's why they say no birth, no death. Because what's being born? Technically speaking, even this body is not being born. It's kind of being manufactured. You know, we talked about just man, woman get together, they create a lump of goo. This lump of goo is fed and watered, and it grows. similar to a plant or grass or a tree or a weed that you, that's what you're calling you, a lump of five elemental goo that is fed and watered and grows. And the formless presence that you are, that's everywhere, because there's a sense of existence in this form, there's a waking of, oh, so that I am this. But I am not this, but I think I'm this. And by being this, I see a world. And I assume the world is true, because from the object of the perspective of being an object, there are other objects. So I kind of have to be insane to say, oh, no, I'm formless. As a little kid, as mom and dad are telling me, your name is John, you're our son, time for John to go to school, get good grades, bad grades, this and that, do this, do that, have fear, the pleasure pain principle arising, oh, this is very pleasurable, I want more of it, or oh, this is very painful, I want to avoid it, because this I starts to be cemented. The formless I, identified with the form, becomes a block of cement. And then when someone tells you that you're formless and you weren't born and you want to die, you're laughing in their face. This is why Maharaj says, when you hear the good news, you might be saying, oh, master is playing a trick on me. He's joking with me, saying I am Brahman, I am formless. How can I be Brahman? How can I be the whole world? Because I'm identified with this as me. Mm. This body labeled John isn't the whole world. Nor is this body labeled John God, Brahman, Paramatman, or Master. No, the formless holder of the body, which is inside and outside the body, and inside and outside of everybody, is that, and that you are.
In a way, it makes almost rational sense, in the sense that, okay, take a tree. A tree has its trunk and its leaves, and it blows in the winds, and it's made up of all these different factors, and it wouldn't be there unless the air was there around it and everything else. So actually, the tree can't possibly be itself. It has to be everything at the same time.
Well, the tree is just a lump of five elemental glue in the form of a tree, powered by the presence that you are. You give the life to life. The livingness to life is then created through the consciousness of, I am somebody living a life. But you give the life to life. You are life. But not individual life.
Right.
You're everything. So whether John is here or not, this body, it makes no difference whatsoever. Just as a dream character that disappears in your dream is not disturbing the dreamer or the dream in any way. And the dreamer is all the people. Even if you dreamt about, I think we talked about before, the entire world explodes in your dream, it may be very terrifying. You wake up, you know it's not true. Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, you know that even if this world exploded, it just won't affect you. You won't have, it can't. The space is no longer confined to, let's say, a globe, but the space is inside the earth and outside the earth. So if the earth is gone, the space is, the space remains. And you are that is more subtle than space, because without your presence, there is no space.
Even Nisargadatta said, and I am that even the pebbles are alive. And so it's like they are just as much the space as anything, as you are, in a sense.
The consciousness is what, I mean, all of these are objects in consciousness, and consciousness has created all of these objects, basically, spontaneously. See, not creating like a creator. But just again, if you lay down at sleep at night and the whole dream world is created, the pebbles, the rocks, the trees, the people, are all your own self. They've all risen formlessly and have appeared as form within the formlessness that you are, even the little dream body that you believe yourself to be. So in essence, yes, everything is living because everything is appearing within the consciousness, which created all of this spontaneously, because as you're sleeping, there's no knowledge of your existence, no knowledge of world, which is deep sleep. Then suddenly there's a sense of existence, and that sense of existence instantaneously creates a dream world and populates it fully.
With pebbles and everything.
With pebbles and everything. So that formlessness that you are has just populated this entire world. The rabbit that's bouncing around is you. Your consciousness is creating the power, the energy to make that little rabbit move around. When you wake up, of course, you know that entire world came from nothing because my body was laying down sleeping. Now, when you know yourself in a real sense, you'll know that this entire world came out of nothing only because for a time you identified with one of the objects that was occurring within the dream as your own self. And it wasn't true. You're the dreamer, not the dream character. And you're not even the dreamer because the consciousness is coming on your sense of existence. Because there's a sense of existence, boom, just like in the dream. This formless all of everything, there's a dualistic concept of I exist. And this creates a dream world. Now, every time a little dream body is created, this sense of I exist comes again, and the identification is there that I'm this body seeing the world, and that everything is true from the perspective that I'm this body, this limited form.
One thing, like I said, next week I won't be here because I'm going to be going to like a sort of a major concert.
Okay, cool. Hope you have a good time.
Yeah, and then just so happens that I was reading Das Boot last night, and it was on the page where he's indicates that if you get wrapped up in music, you know, you're taking the touch, you're involved with the music, you feel like you're enjoying the music. It's like how do you listen to music without taking the touch?
You dissolve yourself in the music.
I guess it'll just happen.
That's a natural thing, actually. You see people out on the dance floor and they're like, and I know when I was going to clubs, I would stand next to the speakers. You feel the vibration. You lose your body sense, even though nothing to do with spirituality. You just mold yourself in with the vibration and you begin dancing and moving and feeling the speaker, but you're not taking the touch of a doer. It's literally losing the touch, just like the sports guys when they're on the basketball court and they just flow and go and boom, put a basket. You lose the sense of you,
but
the activity that you're doing.
So I guess Das Boot is sort of pointing out, though, that if we take we do take the touch of the music, and when you are taking the touch, you're no longer aware of yourself. I mean, it can happen and it does happen, you know, like
when the music floods in, then you're no longer. That's why in the ashram, the bhajans, there were some folks there that were very specific about how they did the phonetics and made sure that the bhajan sounded exactly right. And they were very, very particular. And I remember I told Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, no offense, but I'm not really so into like all the phonetic stuff. I like the beat. I like the flow of the music. I kind of go with this. I lose this body sense. And to me, trying to pronounce each and every word exactly correctly just seems like a waste. Mm. And Maharaj says, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be taking a PhD course in bhajan lyrics.
Right.
I'm not beating on anyone because I know there are some people who watch this and they'll say, well, that's not right. That's okay. You do as you wish. But I did ask Maharaj, because everything that happened at the ashram, I always checked it with Maharaj. He's the master. I want to know what the correct is. And so if I'm having the music and I lose the sense of body, I'm not taking the touch of the music. The music is...
It's merging.
It's you're no longer having the concept of being Keith at a concert. So you're no longer self-conscious of, like, that's why a lot of people, they dance and all this kind of stuff. They're not self-conscious about the dancing, because I think, what's his name? I forget, one of the philosophers said, dance like nobody's watching. Well, that's how it happens when the music takes you and you're not so particular.
That's when you enjoy the dance the most.
Of course. That's when you enjoy anything, when you're not there. You are the cause of all the disturbance and all the problems in your life. Remove you, and what is there to be concerned about?
That's a good point.
If I sit there and I say, oh, you know, I'm dancing, but this shirt makes me look fat, so I need to make sure that I puff it and I pull it and I'm, you know, oh, I'm sweating. I probably don't look good. I need to pat my forehead. No, because this is all like self-consciousness, craziness. You lose yourself in the music. You flow. With the bhajans, you just feel the vibration and it vibrates you out of this limited concept of being a body. And it carries you away. Because you are formless. So you can ride the waves of the music, because those waves are appearing within you. Oh, we have 6 minutes. That's crazy how that just started popping up, but it pops up and it says, remaining time, 6 minutes. 2 minute warning.
It seemed like the first time it just gave us like about a 1 minute warning. Now it's giving us a 6 minute warning.
Well, it used to give us no warning. We would all be talking and then boom.
Ended. Personally, I don't see the warning. It must be just for.
Oh, okay. I guess.
I'm seeing it.
Yeah, remaining meeting time.
So it may depend on how you
guess look. I never looked at the top there. Okay.
Yeah, right up at the top.
Yep. They're trying to get me to pay for Zoom so that I can have more time. But quite frankly, I love the fact that it's only like 40 minutes now. Yeah. Because in the old days, we did this for like 2 hours.
Yeah, sometimes it went on.
I think even the YouTube people who watch the video appreciate it being much shorter.
Yeah. Now we can sit here with anxiety of 5 minutes and 7 seconds. Now what do I say?
And I'm cool with a little break, actually, if that's okay with Trish. Maybe we meet on the 26th and we skip the 19th.
That's fine.
Sounds good. And I'll put that on the website and all that kind of stuff. That sounds good, just to kind of take a little break. We haven't taken any breaks this year, and I noticed that in the last year we took like 2 or 3 breaks. So
yeah, you're getting your Easter break.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. There you go.
You even have a name for it.
There you go. Perfect. See, now the sun has set here, so it's not like the sun blaring down on you.
Yeah, I don't have an artificial light on. That's why it's getting darker and darker.
Right.
Mine is just outdoor light.
Exactly. Yeah, I have this little desk lamp here, which is providing the light. I used to put this one on, but then it threw weird shadows and stuff. So, see, that's too much thinking about what's going on.
As if it's really going on, but everything is going on. I guess I was contemplating today. I was sitting by a marsh and I was seeing that part of the water was flowing, the part that was further away from me. Then there's this log there in the marsh, and the water near me wasn't, it was almost like it was like motionless. It just blew my mind that experience can be experiencing the same thing, doing two different things at the same time. The water is water, the water is moving, it's also still. It was mind-blowing to think of the limitlessness of the possibilities of even perception.
Well, these are the five elemental just disturbances. The water is not experiencing itself moving or standing still. Like, these are just five elemental things. Just like this body moving around and doing what it does, it's all part of the five elements. We could say it's the universal consciousness that's moving this body around based on the story of what it's doing. That's why you know yourself in a real sense. You're not this body moving around. And yet, you still do your job, do your duties. You know, Maharaj has said many times, don't go to your boss and say, I'm formless. And I'm not going to do anything.
What? But you do it without you do it without resistance, though.
It's spontaneous action in the moment.
There's no resistance.
Because there's no, see, when you do your job without you, like we said, all activities without you are going to be a lot better. When you do your job without you, you're not worried that you're doing something wrong or how you're coming. You just, it's spontaneous movement in the moment. Somebody says, oh, this thing is messed up. I need it fixed. You're not like, oh, you know, I always mess things up and I hope my boss doesn't find out. You're just like, oh, it needs fixed. Okay, fix. And then email, okay, that's fixed. That's not taking the touch. Do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. But you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. You can read the books, Das Bodh and all of that, but you know that all of these are just talking about your own self from the perspective of yourself. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj always says, you can read Bhagavad Gita, but read it from the position of Krishna. Because Krishna is talking about your own selfless self. Jesus was talking about your own selfless self. All these are speaking as your selfless self, knowing that they're selfless self. And it's only because people are interpreting it through the body-mind that they believe that these guys are like these big guys or something. But these guys don't think they're guys. They know when they say, before Abraham was, I am.